Here at the Ranger Report Podcast, we only represent products we believe in. As you've heard over the past year plus, we've been running our Walton's commercial. I've been using Walton's products for a long time now, and let me tell you, they're some of the best seasonings I've ever used. One of my staples to make at my house are pork chops, and their ultimate pork chop and roast rub has gotten more compliments than anything that I've ever used. For burgers, their better burger seasoning is delicious, and I only use that on my burgers. Again, tons of compliments. They have all kind of seasonings that you can imagine. They have barbecue sauce and the thick kind, not the watery kind at all. If you're into wild game, they have seasons and rubs for that as well. Don't forget their line of sausage casings and all the tools to make your own meat products, from sausage and jerky to grinders and more. Walton's really is a one-stop shop for everything but the meat. If you like tips and tricks and videos on how to do a whole lot of things when it comes to cooking, then you should go to www.meatgistics.com. Go to www.waltonsinc.com today and start shopping, and tell them the Ranger Report Podcast sent you. Walton's, everything but the meat.
This is Bruce Bochy, and you're listening to the Ranger Report.
The Ranger Report. Yeah, the Ranger Report. Inside scoop. Listen to the Ranger Report. Oh, here we go.
This is the Ranger Report Podcast. News, insights, predictions, interviews, and information about the World Series champion Texas Rangers, from the major leagues to the minor leagues. And now, here are your hosts, Ben Dieter, Tyler Nielsen, and CJ Berryman.
Everybody, welcome to the Ranger Report Podcast on the Fans First Sports Network, your Texas Rangers source on the Fans First Sports Network. And of course, brought to you in part by Dallas Sports Nation and always by Waltons.com. Waltons, everything but the meat. And on the Comfort Air online studio, we are here. And I am Ben Dieter. You can find me on Twitter at BDieter75.
CJ Berryman, you can find me at CDB_RR.
And our guest this week is none other than Chev Chelios. If you're on Twitter, you probably know who Chev is. Chev, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for letting me participate tonight. It's an honor.
Yeah, hey, last year, CJ and I had talked about like doing an episode where we had fans on every once in a while, people that listen, people that interact with us all the time. We just never got around to it. So finally, right before this season, CJ's like, hey, I got Chev for Thursday. I was like, sweet, we're finally doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of our fault. I mean, the winter was crazy, and with sickness and job stuff, and I mean, all kinds of crap. We meant to have you on a whole lot earlier, and we're going to have a few other folks on too that I've talked to that engage with us, and so we just kind of want to give back to the fans, let y'all come on here and give us your opinions, tell us we're smart, dumb, or whatever, and just have fun with us.
Yeah, life gets in the way. Totally understand, not a problem. I can be as flexible as possible, so I'm just happy to be here. It's fun to talk it up with baseball, especially after the Rangers won.
Yeah,
talk about a perfect time to be on here right before the season starts.
I agree with you. And let's start. You sent us something the other day that I'd already seen. But speaking of things that are flexible, the story about the Shohei Ohtani and gambling has been quite flexible with what's been coming out of his camp. It's been a little bit crazy, CJ, just the fact that like his translator obviously has been fired. First, he said that he paid off his debt. Then he said that he had robbed him. And then he said, that it might be Shohei who's doing the gambling. And it just keeps changing. So it's just, this story is crazy, and I don't think it's going to be Pete Rose-like, as Chev and I talked about a little off-air, because I don't think he bet on Angels games while he was with the Angels. I think he's just betting on sports, which is illegal in California, but not illegal overall.
That's the problem, dude.
So the problem is it's illegal in California, but I don't think he'll get a ban. I think at most he might get suspended for a little bit, but I don't even see that happening. But man, this story, like right as the season started in Korea, hit, and it's just crazy.
Well, and I read something earlier today, too, and it was actually from Victor Rojas. And he essentially that Rob Manfred needs to like get out in front of it and address it like now, saying, everybody's investigating. I mean, say something.
Yeah.
But we know Manfred, he's not going to he don't have the stones, but, he'll have no problem moving an All-Star game for political reasons. So. I just that bothers me partially because the MLB and Rob Manfred have not come out and said anything. And to watch this thing unfold, I mean, overnight, just holy crap. I mean, what do you believe? I mean, this is these lawyers are saying that. This lawyer's saying that. The guy's, you know, on ESPN for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Stating his case. And
which, by the way, was set up by Otani's camp. Otani set up that press conference. Yeah. It's not like the translator did it on his own. Otani set that up for him and then changed the story after that happened, which is really odd.
It's a strange ordeal.
Chev, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, you know, I think it's funny because this has been talked about on the internet since, Michael Jordan had gambling problems. Was that, you know, some people have the conspiracy theory that they think that David Stearns at the time and the league kind of came to him and kind of put pressure on him to, you know, basically walk away and retire, as they said. I don't think that's going to be the case, obviously, here. I think it's smart that Shohei's camp got out in front of it. I think that Manfred, as you said, will at some point address it, and it'll be, you know,
when the dust clears, probably. Yeah. And he's.
They're probably doing their own due diligence to
protect Alexa. Shut up.
To protect their cash cow, because I mean, he is a cash cow at the moment. Yeah. And the season,
and well deserved.
Yeah, and season just started. What I do think is this idea that his translator is the one that did this behind his back without his knowledge. I don't believe that at all.
No.
I think that first of all, let's just say that, you know, we're talking $1 million. That's what was reported. But then there's talk that
two and a half that they're
looking that this happened prior to what's been noticed, you know, of recent, that it could be up to $4 million. And so with that being the case, you got to think that Otani not only is intelligent, but he probably surrounds himself with smart people, accountants specifically. Yeah. And you got to believe that his accountants know exactly where his money is, what it's being spent on. And if you are, you know, betting, you know, at a sports book in, like, let's say some of the California does have some casinos on some of the Indian reservations. So if he's doing it there, that's one thing. If he's doing it in Vegas, that's one thing. But if he's got a bookie that he's wiring
money to, that's the issue right there.
Yep.
So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. I don't foresee anything drastic just because of who he is. And there hasn't been any more reporting about this. I think if you have additional reports coming out, and this paper trail starts to, you know, increase and it gets bigger, then yeah, maybe there'll be some more drastic things happen.
Just when we all thought we'd heard enough about Otani and the office.
Well, you know, it almost sounded like he was following the Angels' business plan because he lost $4.5 million.
Well, let's go talk to Marty.
Maybe Anthony Rendon is his bookie.
Maybe. He sure doesn't seem to care what's going on the field.
So. He sure does not. Yeah, but anyway, I just thought this story was crazy. And just the overall thing. And plus, I just got to say this. I do not like this starting the baseball season a week before the baseball season starts. I understand playing in Korea. I think that's cool for the fans in Korea and all that, but I don't like everyone else is still in spring training and we've already had two official games played in baseball. I don't like that. They have less time to get ready. At 6 a.m. I just don't like it. I personally just don't like it.
So I was actually in Japan. I was living in Japan when they did this series in Japan years ago. This is back when, if y'all remember this, Cespedes was a brand new rookie coming out of Cuba, and he had signed on with Oakland. And it was Oakland and Seattle playing over there. And it was cool because I think that one of the biggest reasons they did it was the fact that
Ichiro,
I was about to space his name for a second. Ichiro was retiring after those two games. So I think it was cool that they did that. It seems like as you're saying, like, it's annoying maybe for us as American fans because we're excited about opening day. And in this case for us, opening night will be the Rangers will be the first game on ESPN that Thursday night before the opening day games on the next day on Friday.
Yep.
But I think it's cool that they did it for Korea. You could tell they did it for them. I mean, they have a good amount of Japanese and Korean players on both respective teams. So it's cool for them. At the same time, it is a little weird. And you know, I've actually at lunch today, I watched the I kind of did the speed through game where I watched it on my phone and, you know, I got to see the highlights. It was pretty fun. But yeah, I'm more excited about opening night, which is going to be on ESPN for the nation to see.
Yep.
This is where hopefully the Rangers are picking back up where they left off last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. My issue with the whole thing was just the timing. You can make it and give them an off day to travel back, or give them two off days to travel back, not a week before the season starts. Cause I mean, again, like Ben said, we are still in spring training. Rosters haven't been
finalized. Most teams haven't even finalized their rosters yet. And the Dodgers. But the thing is, you're right. I mean, if you watch the fans, the Korean fans loved it, and Korea loves baseball. So it's a great place to do it. I mean, it really is kind of like the NFL does with the London thing, although I don't know how much they love American football, but Koreans love Major League Baseball and baseball in general. And so it was just fun to watch. I mean, the people that threw out the first pitch, from that to everyone in the stands, you could tell that, I mean, like at the World Baseball Classic, you could tell that everyone was just having a blast being there. I just wish it was a little closer to the regular season actually starting.
Yeah, it's definitely a showcase. That's what I like to think of it as. And it was actually, it's cool. Ken Griffey was over there and he did throw out a pitch, and he's over there doing exactly what Randy Johnson does in the NFL. He's a camera guy. It not only showed him during the game, or I should say prior to the game, but they showed him during the game taking pictures, kind of, you know, soaking it all in. So it's a cool showcase that, you know, if you really want to take the time to take a look at it, go ahead and do it. I think it's a good example with the London games and the game they did over in Germany for the NFL. Now they're in Brazil next season. And that's cool for those fans. I'm just glad that it's not our team.
Yeah. There you go.
Having to wake up in the middle of the night to watch, because that's never fun.
Then we're going to do it.
I mean, we all would have gotten up and watched that game at 6 a.m. Yeah.
You know,
probably tweeting or Xing each other or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'd have been starting. Hell God, you know? Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they're on at night this time, because normally I have to put the game on at school and tell the kids to leave me alone while I'm watching the baseball game on opening day. But now I actually get to watch it when it's live, which is going to be really nice. Yeah. But yeah, that's something to look forward to. And speaking of the Rangers, since this is a podcast about the Rangers, let's talk a little about Michael Lorenzen?
Lorenzen. Yeah,
that the Rangers signed basically in the middle of the night last night. CJ, what do you know about him?
Well, he threw a no hitter. Was it last year?
I believe so.
And he's, he was an all-star last year too. I mean, I'm sorry. 2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago. Yeah.
He was an all-star last year in Detroit.
He was an all-star last year. Yeah. So, it kind of makes you wonder what the rotation is going to look like. But here's the thing that I also want to pump the brakes on with this. It's going to take him some time to ramp up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the opening day starting rotation that we've talked about, I think is still in place. And I think it's going to take him about 3-4 starts to ramp up at least. And then the Rangers will have a better idea of what they want to do with their pitching staff whenever he becomes built up and ready. Now, is that a Jordan Montgomery signing? No. But
no.
Is it – certainly helpful to have another reliable arm that, I mean, may start as a start. He may just come up as a long reliever whenever he gets ready. We don't know yet.
Nope.
So, but is it nice to have that asset? Sure. Especially at $4.5 million. Yeah.
I had a friend that sent me a message today, and he's been on the show before. It's Charles Parker. He was the Preferred Health Solutions, the guy that brought us that sponsor. But anyway, he writes on my website too, but he said this kind of the difference between Chris Young and John Daniels, in his opinion. By the way, he was a John Daniels hater. I wasn't.
Well, I wasn't.
You were too. But anyway, he said this is sort of like John Daniels' big signing during the off seasons is Chris Young's like fifth starter possibility signing at the end of spring training. He said that's the difference between the two. But yeah, I think he was signed for depth in case. Like, what if Cody Bradford goes out there and blows up? Then you have Michael Lorenzen right there in the background. What if Andrew Heaney gives up 14 runs in 2 innings or whatever he did in a couple of starts last year? Then you've got this guy in the background waiting and warming up in AAA, getting ready. And I think it's a great pickup here at the end of spring training for someone, just like you said, to have depth. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't trust Cole Wynn. I don't trust Owen White. I don't trust the guys they have, Jack Leiter at this point. I don't trust him to come up and do any better than Cody Bradford can do.
And hate to say it, because he's a friend of the podcast, that don't trust Zach Kent just yet either.
No,
love Zach Kent, but believe he's ready to make that step. But I just don't think
I don't see any of them being better than Cody Bradford.
Yeah, no, it's not in the cards right now. But we'll see. I mean, a healthy Zach Kent, an effective Cole Wynn in the minors, an effective Owen White in the minors. That's gonna help kind of build, I think, all of our confidence back up a little bit in case there's some ineffectiveness on the big league roster. Then these guys are killing it down in AAA. Hey, let's give them a shot like they did two, 3 years ago. Jake Latz, coming up. Who was the other one? AJ Alexi, who came up, and just gave him a shot.
But
and
Owen White last year got a couple of
stuff. He got a cup of coffee. What do you think, Chef?
Yeah, I like the signing. I mean, obviously, it's a total bargain. And from what I understand, $4.5 million base, and then he can get up to $7 million,
correct,
with incentives. I think it's great for a fifth guy in the rotation. As much as I like Bradford, going off of what I know, a lot of people online have really wanted to see Bradford in the rotation, and I don't hate the idea, but I really like Bochy talking about how critical Bradford is to the bullpen. Yep. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I'm still kind of unsure about whether Brock Burke's going to be as effective as he was 2 years ago, because he did kind of up and down last year, and it was kind of disappointing.
He's looked a lot better in the spring, but I certainly see your concern. Consternation, concern, whatever.
Tough work.
I've been talking all day. So.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm excited about the signing. I think it's cool. Also, I kind of joked online that he might be the only two-way player that's healthy this year.
Oh, he can hit.
He's got some pipes on him, man. He is a big guy. And I think the thing I always remember about his no-hitter last year was, after it was over, they took his cleats and they put him in the hall. They put him in Cooperstown. And his cleats are the only that I know of, the only cleats that are Vans cleats.
Oh, wow.
He's basically, since he got into the bigs in Cincinnati, he's worn Vans cleats, just like Clayton Kershaw wears Skechers cleats. Mm-hmm. I don't think any other players
totally off
either one of those.
Totally off the wall.
It's pretty cool. Well,
a thing to look at, and to your point, Chev, if you look at his numbers last year, Bradford had a 6.95 ERA as a starter and a 2.82 ERA out of the bullpen. So he obviously looked better in shorter stints last year. And then, I mean, in the World Series, he came in and just threw lights out of the bullpen. And was that game three?
I believe so. Cause he had a really good start. He had a really good start with the Orioles as well. Or excuse me. No, was it? No, he came in relief in the Orioles.
And he did in the World Series too. In both relief appearances, he was great. He went like five innings in the relief against the Orioles, and he went like three innings in relief against the Diamondbacks. But just the difference between 6.95 and 2.82 is pretty massive between starter and bullpen.
Yeah, what was brought up online was that good chance that, to CJ's point about ramping up, good chance that as Lorenzen starts, whenever he gets that fifth turn in the rotation, good chance that Bradford piggybacks off of Lorenzen, depending on how that day goes.
Yeah, I do like a tandem thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a great strategy, especially if they're not going to go out and get another pitcher. I think that, I mean, if they can just keep their head above water this first half, I mean, there's the hopeful health that we got coming back could really, help them out in the long stretch.
Well, if DeGrom, Scherzer, and Mahi are half of what they were before Tommy John surgery, you're still going to have frontline pitchers, even if they're not at 100% of what they used to be. I mean, DeGrom is, I've said for years, and I think you guys both have too, he's the greatest pitcher on the planet when he's healthy. There's nobody better than him right now when he's healthy. And Scherzer is just a bulldog when he's healthy. He doesn't care. Nothing bothers that dude. And, Mally is also a very, very good pitcher. So, I mean, the fact that you have those three just waiting in the wings really makes you feel good about if they can hover a little over 500 for the first 3 months of the season, you think they have a really good shot of going deep into the postseason again this year with those three guys waiting to come back on. And then you've got, Bradford and Heaney in the bullpen, maybe Dunning back in the bullpen, guys that thrive in both positions. But I don't know if I'd put him back in the bullpen, but golly, he's so good. He's so good in the rotation. Hopefully he can repeat what he did last year.
He was, pitcher of the year. I mean, we talked about it
all year long.
Like we didn't miss a beat.
No.
And what I said last year when DeGrom went down, just like pretend he's not on the team.
Yeah.
And just pretend that Dane Dunning's been here the whole time.
Well, I know we've talked about this, but the crazy thing to me is the fact that he won. I mean, we won the World Series without DeGrom and Scherzer, basically, when we had them. I mean, we still won the World Series. Just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly, I think those that leaders really coming to life offensively. I mean, and this is really where it gets, you're excited about Lorenzen, but at the same time, as you're thinking back at the World Series, oh man, it's disappointing. Montgomery's not going to be here.
Yeah, I know.
At least we don't know yet because he hasn't signed. So.
He still hasn't signed. So, all right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with Chev on the Comfort Air on Listening. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ranger Report podcast on the Comfort Air online studio. Of course, on Dallas Sports Nation, Fans First Sports Network, all the stuff we said off the top. We're still here with Chev Chelios, and we're talking about the Rangers. But now we're going to talk a little bit about, so we love interacting with people on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever we can interact with people. And Chev was one of the first ones when CJ and I started doing this in 2021 that started giving us a hard time as far as some of our takes and giving us some trade ideas and coming in with all kind of hot takes, which were great because Chev thinks about the Rangers a lot, obviously, and he has a lot of great ideas. And man, it has been so fun. So Chev, what kind of got you into listening to podcasts, and then how did you find us two knuckleheads?
Well, so, you know, I think I joined, I guess I got into podcasting or listening to them. That is, late in the game. You could go on there and search and find a lot of different ones on there. I really was in the blogging stuff first. And then, you know, being in the military and, you know, not having time to catch up on stuff, especially when you're overseas, I kind of used podcasting as like a way to, you know, get better information because of the time differences depending on where you're at. And so I would get information that way. And I just started listening to a lot of different ones, not just sports ones, but not just baseball ones. But when it came to the Rangers at the time, there weren't a ton out there. And I found Ben's. I discovered John's. And at the time, both y'all were kind of doing a solo thing. And I liked hearing the different takes and different information. And John started interacting a little bit more. And so I decided to get on Twitter, X now, but I decided to do Twitter because he was doing live streams and, you know, questions that way. And I'm glad that y'all have been able to do the same thing because I think it's a good way to interact with people. You know, obviously you're going to have, you know, people troll on there and everything, but
we had an episode where it was nothing but.
Well, I probably heard a little bit of that.
You probably went X.
Yeah, it sucked.
Hit that X button. Just get out of here.
Can't do anything about it. But anyways, you take the bad with the good, and I just enjoyed listening to Ben. And then when you joined CJ, I was like, awesome. This podcast is growing, and it was the same thing with John joining Jeff. Mm-hmm. And it's just cool to see, you know, some of the little guys that just do their own thing, start to have a little bit of a following and interacting with people. And whether you call it giving back or whatever, I just think it's fun to, you know, sit around and talk sports. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, there's memes out there, but men are pretty easy to entertain. You talk sports or something they like, and you could do it for hours.
I got to say though, I got to break in with a troll thing. The funniest one I ever heard was we were doing one and John was on with us. And this guy jumped on and said, yeah, I have a question for all you guys. And he said, how big are your wife's tits? And I was like, I'm so sorry, people. And in the background, I hear John say, they're pretty big. Thanks for asking.
It sounds like John.
And I just thought, did he really just say that? And I left it in the episode. It was so funny because I was going to cut it out. But I thought because of John's answer, I had to leave. Like just the way he answered it, just so straight laced, like he was answering a real question, just made me laugh so hard. John,
It's the same thing like when you have some of the famous, you know, whether TV broadcast or radio broadcast, the one I always remember is I'm sure you guys remember it was when the Rangers were, I think they were in Seattle, and I think it was Kason Gabbard, and he threw and hit Richie Sexson, and Richie Sexson charged the mound, and it was like a joke of a fight. And And Tom Grieve would not stop talking about it, like, talking about how rich he's sexy. And he's like, oh, you're a tough guy. he was going on. He's like, for a guy that hits under the Mendoza line.
And it's doing that, like, seven.
Yeah, it was funny. It just one of those things that I remember. And I know that I'm sure that John Blake and the rest of the PR people are like, stop, Tom, you got to stop doing that. But I'm glad he did it, because now you see, like, we're human beings and stuff like just, and Tom wasn't like that. You know, he was pretty even keel, but just one of those days that you're just like, you know what? You got to leave it in, kind of like
and the Rugi punch. Oh, he was all, I mean, he was having a blast. Yeah. He's like, he got all he wanted a Rugi.
Oh yeah.
Some of the best stuff I remember. I know the Rangers hated, but it was when Josh Lewin was there with him.
I love Josh.
They would get off on tangents. I mean, because those were the lean years, man. We were losing like 15-9 and 13-7, and they would just run out of stuff to talk about. So they would just start talking, and I thought it was great broadcasting. I thought it was fantastic.
When they started winning,
yeah, they got good.
About that 2008, 2009. I mean, I love Josh. Yeah,
I did too. He was great at what he did.
But damn it, he knew his stuff, and you know, and he could call a damn good game, a really good game. So I was so sad when
they let him go. Yeah.
I was stationed in Alamogordo. Yeah, I was still in the Air Force. I was stationed in Alamogordo. And speaking of, trying to keep up with things, AFN, Chev.
Oh, yeah.
Armed Forces Network. Yep. Luckily, being a Cowboys fan, they always had the Cowboys on. However, and I had to actually work. My boss is into letting me have Sundays and Mondays off because I'd get off work at 7 o'clock at night on Saturday night. And then I'd go home and try to catch a couple hours of sleep, get up and check my fantasy teams and watch the Cowboys. So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm already jacked up and watching the Cowboys. Same with the Rangers. Anytime the Rangers were on, I was up in the middle of the night getting 3 hours of sleep and then going back out on the flight line and loading cargo aircraft. And it's just I think it's sometimes, yes, it can be a burden, but it's also something that we love so much that we don't care.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say we do crazy things for sports. I was gonna say real quick, in 2010, game one of the ALDS, I had an episode, I was sick, I had a stomach bug, and I hadn't drank anything all day, and I wound up passing out. Like at work, hitting my head on the street and having a seizure. And they rushed me to the hospital and the game had just started. And we got in the waiting room. I was sitting there like mostly blacked out. And my wife said, I opened one eye and said, can they put the game on that TV right there? And I wasn't even conscious. And they put it on. And she said, when the sound came on, I immediately woke up and picked my head up and started watching the TV. And then when they went to wheel into my room, I was like, wait, stop. Is the game going to be on in my room? And they're like, yes. So they put it on before they wheeled me back to my room. And like, I was in the hospital for 3 days. So I had to watch two of the games there. But I told them it better be on that TV when I get back to the room. She said I went from completely unconscious to like immediately awake as soon as that baseball sound, I heard that in my ears.
Hey, you know what? You got to pass the time somehow. And I mean, just like, you know, with you being sick and CJ and overseas, the same thing with me. I mean, I recall watching. I did rotations in Afghanistan in 2015 and 2017. And in 2015, I watched we watched every game, the series up in Toronto, mm-hmm. obviously ending terribly with the Sam Dyson,
Jose Bautista jackhammer toss.
Yeah.
It was a pretty epic home run and bat flip, as they say. But I also remember the other thing I remember that was unique was the controversy. If you remember, there was late in the game, Sin Shu Chu was in the batter's box, and he like a pitch had gone by and he like kind of sat in the box. He didn't get out. He stepped out with one foot. And his bat kind of came up, and the pitch or the catcher threw the ball, and it hit off the bat.
Yeah,
hit and the Rugi bat. Came in and scored. And they tried to say that's a dead ball. You know, I remember that whole controversy.
Yep.
And if you remember, Toronto fans throwing dirt,
throwing all
and kinds beer of trash cans on the
yeah. field. Yeah,
those are the things that you remember, and you remember where you were when it happened.
Yep. Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that being overseas. I was in Balad, Iraq, in 2006. when the, well, over the 4th of July, which that was weird. We can't shoot fireworks whenever you're in a war zone.
No, not a good idea.
So, actually I got to come home in early September, but I had to watch the first Cowboys game there, and the game started, I'm trying to think, I think they were done with the first quarter whenever I was able to finally get off the fly line and go home, go to the barracks, take a shower, and then go to the rec tent. And, there's like 30 people in there, and every, you know, they had a big old TV in there. One of them old ones though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Old big screens, and everybody's just glued to it. I'm like, look, okay. I'm asking people I don't even know, guys from the Army, guys from the Marines. I'm just like, what's the score? Hey, let me see. Come on. Yeah. And so then, somebody, I was kind of losing it, 'cause I couldn't battle my way in there, 'cause I didn't get there first. Obviously I was out on the flight line. So, her name was, Airman Perez Cruz. She walked in there and she goes, "Hey, I'm in the laundry room doing my laundry. There's nobody in there, and there's a TV on and there's a couch." And I went, done. Yeah. So I got to watch the rest of the game, and unfortunately Cowboys lost, of course. But, yeah, I just sat there with we called her PC. Perez Cruz, PC, and just sat there. We watched the game with her. I mean, sweet Puerto Rican gal that I was stationed with, actually in Fort Bragg.
Oh, cool.
With for you know, we both got stationed, or both got deployed to the same location, and she knew how big I was on the Cowboys. I mean, she cooked Thanksgiving dinner because I wasn't able to come home for Thanksgiving, and it was a Puerto Rican Thanksgiving, and it was amazing.
Oh, I bet that was good.
And watched the Cowboys, and just you know. I miss that girl for sure. But yeah, she knew how huge I was about my sports. And I was there when the Rangers, about every day, I would always be the first one. We had one computer in the tent that we could access before we went out to the flight line. I was always the first one in there, and I'd fight anybody that tried to stop me. And so the Rangers, you know, obviously it's in July. Well, it was March to September is when I was there. So it's July, getting close to the trade deadline. And that's when I found out about the trade. Kevin Minch, Lance Nix, to Milwaukee for Carlos Lee.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
And I think we sent Coco to Cordero as well.
Yeah. That was a mistake
for Carlos Lee and Nelson Cruz.
Okay, that wasn't a mistake. I forgot Nelson Cruz came over in that one.
Yeah.
Carlos Lee was supposed to be the bit. Well, just like in the Teixeira trade, Jared Saltomaki was supposed to be the big deal, but we got Neftali Feliz and Matt Harrison and Elvis Andrews. And, you know, that trade turned out all right.
I think the only guy that didn't ever come up with the Rangers, even for a short period of time, was he was like the last guy on the trade, a guy named Bo Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bo Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, he never
made relief pitcher.
Yeah.
He kept getting hurt.
But I'll tell you what, those were fun years, though. Those were fun years watching, right? Even though, like, you knew what was going to happen. The Rangers were going to score a lot of runs, but they were going to lose by one or two at the end. And that every single game. And also, you knew they were going to be in contention until the All-Star break. And then they were going to fall apart in which
they couldn't make any.
By the way, I got to say, this year, I thought that was what was going to happen when August and September turned out to be when they went on that massive losing streak. And I thought, oh, man, they're going to lose this thing. And then, you know, we all know it's history.
Well, even into the World Series, I mean, all of our buttholes were clenched because we've been used to this. Like, something's going to happen. Something weird is going to happen that's going to prevent this.
Well, I don't know about you guys.
And when it didn't happen and we won, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I was able to watch Nelly miss the ball in 2011 for the first time without like PTSD after we won the World Series.
Oh,
I still won't watch it.
I probably will. I just haven't done it yet. That's too much work to go back.
Well, someone aired it on Twitter and said, I can finally watch this. And I thought, I'm going to look and see how I'm like, I can.
I did.
And I was like,
that one. And I said, why the hell would you do this?
Yeah, I watched it and I was able to. Because it was the night of the win. I was like, okay, I'm on a high right now, so it doesn't matter what I watch we just won it all.
No, I was like, nope. Why would you do this?
So, Chev, since we have you on, what do you think the chances of the Rangers repeating are?
I mean, I think they're fairly good. I know that the Rangers have some worry with their rotation because of the injuries, but I would say a team that threatens the Rangers is right in the division with Houston, and they have their own injury problems in the rotation. I really think that the team is, I was not pro, you know, have Wyatt Langford start the season in the bigs.
You and I both, brother.
But I mean, you cannot deny what he's done in spring training. Nope. And I think not only because it's really funny seeing Evan Carter being younger than number one, younger than Wyatt Langford.
1 year younger. Two,
you have two rookies that are just so even killed, humble. They have a good head on their shoulders. Obviously it speaks to their upbringing and you know, kind of the things that happened in their life. I think it's exciting. And I'm really for having Wyatt start on the team. If I was thinking about an opening day roster, I'd probably want Langford DHing. Yeah. At least for that night. This time next week, I should say.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's nuts. So I'm excited. I think that they have really good shot, you know, as much as anybody. Obviously, I did end up watching the LA and San Diego games, and those are some pretty powerful teams. And so watching that, I'm like, man, I'm anxious to see what the Rangers are going to be like this year. But I think they get a good shot.
Good. Well, stay tuned. Next week, we're going to do our full season prediction. Division winners, World Series winners, all the awards, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, which, by the way, I'm already calling it's going to be Bruce Bochy, or it has to be. Like, you know, he needs to get it for last year, since they took it away from him last year. But, well,
it's hard to argue the two guys that got it in the AL.
And yeah, it is
played on teams that were not expected, especially not expected. Yeah. I mean, the Rangers weren't expected to be in the playoffs, period.
But what he did in Baltimore was incredible.
The two teams that the two managers that did it in the AL and the NL absolutely deserved it because they were not supposed to be even close.
I'm just mad because if Young would have stayed healthy, he was the Rookie of the Year for the American League.
Like, absolutely.
Hands down, Rookie of the Year. Rushman was great, but Young was better if he'd have stayed healthy. And Young, that's been Young's thing, though, is staying healthy. But anyway.
I think the Rangers got a pretty good shot at Rookie of the Year with two guys on the roster.
Yeah, they could have number one and two in Rookie of the Year this year. I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
All right, Chef, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's been an honor. Thank you guys for letting me be a part of this. And
we appreciate having you.
I'm going to continue to enjoy listening to y'all.
Thank you, Chef.
Salute, sir.
Thank you for your service. Definitely. I say it to CJ all the time, but Chef, thank you.
By the way, I do it right. You know,
I agree.
My dad was in the Army for 7 years, I think. So I tried and I had a back issue and they wouldn't let me in. So I was not allowed to serve.
Hey man, I was just alive and in high school when 9/11 happened, and that just, you don't think about it and you think about it as a kid, but those are the times that I think change your life. You're like, call the arms. You got to think about it. So
I'm a little older than y'all. I was already 2001. I was already, I'd graduated in 94. So I was already done with college.
I was a junior in high school. And
when you young guys, you,
but I mean, I was so involved in baseball and so involved in pitching. I love pitching. Yeah. I love it. I missed it so bad. I went to WT for 1 year, decided I didn't want to play baseball. Then a month into my first semester was like, yeah, I want to. And so they were like, well, you can walk on. We will be happy to have you. But I was too busy, chasing being a college student. Things.
Yeah.
And so then I joined the Air Force after that. And that was 2005. Yeah.
All right. Once again, thank you guys so much. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Shiv, you want to drop them?
Deuces.
Drop them deuces.
Thanks for listening to the Ranger Report podcast. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, and at therangerreport.com.